In the name of Jesus, amen. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. You are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You shall be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. In these and many other passages, we see how broadly and the word holy is used throughout the scriptures, speaking both of God and man. And also in our reading this morning, you are a holy people to the Lord your God. So our reading began. One way is to speak of the holiness of God, but in connection with Christians, the word holy speaks of the virtue of Christ's redeeming life and death that is imputed to Christians, to believers, that through faith we are holy, righteous, and pure before God. Again, we find the word being used to speak of the godly life that begins to manifest itself upon conversion. No longer does the believer consist only in the old Adam, but there is now a new man in Christ, and so with it a continual war that goes on within the soul of the believer from then on throughout his whole lifetime. This morning we touch on what it means to be a holy people. The book of Numbers brings the history of Israel to the events on the plains of Moab. And then Deuteronomy closes the Mosaic era with the three discourses that Moses delivers prior to his death on the eve of Israel's entrance into the land of Canaan. These words of Deuteronomy chapter 7 are part of the second discourse of Moses, an exposition of the first commandment. What does it mean to be a holy people, a people set apart? Consider this statement, a statement which we see here, and a statement also reflected in our psalmody for the day. God has chosen you. That is an element of what it means to be holy. For there is not some virtue, power, or attractive quality in us that caused this. God reminds his people Israel that they were not more in number than other nations, but were instead the least of all people. In choosing them to give them the land that they were about to receive, God says he will make them instruments by which they will crush and destroy and drive out seven other nations, each of which, and all of them, greater and mightier than they were. Question is, why? Answer is, God chose them. What reason does he give? Because the Lord loves you. Because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers. God will because he will. It is within his counsels to choose a nation of Israel. In his grace, and that is the term we give it, it is by his grace that he has chosen you and called you out of darkness by the gospel into the marvelous light of the gospel, to believe, to be saved, to be set apart, to be his, to be holy, to be free from the bondage of sin. The oath that he swore to your fathers. What was that oath and what was its purpose? Was it to set up a fleshly and material monument to God or to these people? No. God's promise to Abraham was the promise of a Savior, a salvation, a spiritual promise, making Israel holy, setting it apart in its own land, was for the sake of Christ, who would be sent in due time, who would come forth from this people, This is the embodiment of God's love. And that they were a great nation did not mean that they would conquer Assyria and Babylon and all the nations of the earth, nor in due time Rome, as some expected. But they were a people who were his and who were redeemed, and who were called to faith. That's what it means to be a holy people, chosen by God. These words of grace and forgiveness that God speaks through Moses are based then on another element that we would consider, the truth that God is God. He says, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." God not only exists, contrary to the imagination and rantings of the godless, who seem to hold sway in the powerful thinking of our world, he not only exists, but in him all things consist. He made heaven and earth, and he fills it. We live and move and have our being in him. What are God's qualities, his attributes? Among them certainly is that great attribute of which he speaks in this text, faithfulness. He will keep his covenant of grace. In Exodus chapter 20, we know the words well. They are connected with Luther's explanation of the Ten Commandments, that God visits the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate him. He is faithful. He is faithful to his promise of judgment to those of iniquity. Those who hate him will be judged and destroyed. But he shows mercy to thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. Thousands of what? Thousands of people? No, this text makes it clear, if it were unclear before. Thousands of generations in comparison to three or four. So is God's faithfulness. God speaks about this faithfulness, and he will not let it go. He will not forget his promise. God speaks also of his justice. And what a terrifying word it is to the sinner. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. That's an expression strange to our ears, isn't it? He will repay him to his face. But is there any doubt what it means? He who sins will stand before God in God's very presence, where no one can stand, to receive his sentence of everlasting judgment. God is just. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Let our hearts be smitten with these words and not be trailed off and led into other paths by a great monopoly, by a great outpouring of voices that says, it can't happen. There are too many of us. We have them outnumbered. God couldn't possibly do such a thing. He's a loving God, after all. God is a just God. God's justice, however, graciously shows itself in another way. After saying, "You shall keep the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments," Moses says, "Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to our fathers." With this, our minds are confused. What is this? is God who is telling us and who has been telling us that our holiness and purity before him is solely by his grace and the forgiveness of sins through faith in Christ Jesus, now reversing himself with these words? Because you listen and keep and do them, that the Lord will keep with you the covenant and the mercy that he swore them. God is indeed gracious. It is for the sake of Christ's merits alone that we are righteous and holy before God. This holiness is not theoretical. It is real. Even our thoughts, our words, our deeds done according to God's will are pure and holy before God. We are indeed God's through faith alone. But we learn from the scriptures also that our faith, as it brings forth the fruits of faith, as it brings forth the works of our lives, also on account of Christ are pure and holy before God. And so God uses what might mean be to us strange language, but he says, because you have obeyed, I will continue to love you. I will keep the covenant with you. Luther, wrestling with these same words, introduced a more philosophical and technical expression when he spoke of prevenient and subsequent mercy. The word prevenient in your dictionary, you will find to mean antecedent or anticipatory, the prevenient grace of God. Listen to Luther. What is this? Previously, he taught that this nation was beloved not because it deserved it, but because of the prevenient choice of God. Now it is to works and merit that he promises love and blessing. Yes, what is greater, he attributes the faithfulness of the covenant and promise to their works, saying, if you keep them, the Lord too will keep the covenant and mercy, which he here expounds in a long passage concerning temporal prosperity. I answer, the distinction we have so frequently given concerning prevenient and subsequent mercy is known. The prevenient is that by which we are chosen, called, justified before we have done any work at all. The subsequent is our certainty and experience through works of that prevenient mercy. What does it mean to be a holy people? It is complex. It is mysterious. It is beautiful in its many facets and aspects. But at the bottom, to be a holy people is to be a people pure and righteous before God in life and soul through the merits of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.